Welcome to For the Love of Conversation, the podcast that grew out of 3 Minute Storyteller, where we believe conversations connect us and social change begins with the stories we tell. At 3 Minute Storyteller, we share digital stories, video snippets of intimate, messy, expansive conversations with a wildly eclectic bunch of artists, scientists, leaders of all stripes, all who are legendary change agents. Some you may know, and hopefully many you don't. This podcast is the opportunity to bring you into the full conversation. I'm Shannon Mannon, along with my husband Mike and our VW bus Scarlett, who we've outfitted into an awesome mobile storytelling unit. We invite you into the full conversation with us. We're so glad you're along for the ride.
In this first episode of our podcast, I'm having a conversation with Miguel Cervantes, who's the star of the Chicago production of Hamilton, an American musical. You may have heard of it. Though this conversation is briefer than what we typically do because Miguel's young daughter, Adelaide, was in the hospital when we spoke, and I didn't want to keep him long, it's still one of my favorite conversations that I've ever had. Remember, he's literally just gotten off his Hamilton jacket after singing and dancing for 3 hours, which is pretty amazing. And when you talk with these artists, that's always one of the things that strikes you. You witness that transformation on and that transformation off. It's pretty stunning. As I wrote in this week's essay, the whole evening was incredibly emotional for me. For one thing, just seeing Hamilton is a mind blower. To think that it all sprang from the mind of one man, it really makes you question your contribution to society. And look, I hate musicals. They've always seemed a little dumb to me, singing your way through every situation. I love theater, but I've always been suspect of musicals. Hamilton changed that completely for me. We'd spent that afternoon in Chicago at the Art Institute looking at Picasso's and touring the Rodin exhibit. And I say without reservation, Hamilton was the greatest, most compelling piece of art I saw that day. It's for the ages. They'll be putting on that production for as long as there are stages. The other thing is that I was there with my daughter. At 11, she's totally a theater geek, and to be able to be there with her at that experience was so special. Both of us had Miguel and Adelaide on our minds as we watched the show, and as Miguel led us back afterward to his dressing room for the interview, I was so proud to hear her raise herself up to her full height and tell him, "Your performance was extraordinary." She sat to the side and listened as we talked, and later in the hotel you could tell she was laying in bed thinking about all that had happened that day. She rolled over on her side and said, "That was a pretty amazing day, huh, Dad?" I hope you enjoy our conversation. You know, one of the questions that I wanted to ask you is how's Adelaide doing? But a bit of a setback the last couple
of
days.
It's sort of the reality of our situation and situations like families like mine. You know, where. I was talking to a doctor friend of mine at the hospital today, and he said, you know, our baseline's a lot higher than most people, most parents, where, you know, something sort of traumatic and scary, like a big hospital visit or go to the ER, for most people would be a little bit sort of shocking, and I'm not saying it's not, right. But it becomes more of a normal, the normalcy of it is a little bit, more present, and so, you know, because of her condition and because of what we've been dealing with for, you know, for since she was 7 months old, these things become a little too common, and, you know, and it just goes with the territory of having a special needs child, so unfortunately, it is sort of goes with the territory. You know?
Yeah. Do you? I mean, I know you've told this story before, but you know, the reason that we wanted to talk with you is. What we try to do is when we find a story that's something that we want to amplify, we just go after it and try to amplify it, as many people that we can get it out to as possible. And so I know in the Chicagoland area, your story's been told many times in a lot of different venues, but from a national perspective, and even for us, our following is international, would you mind telling the story of kind of the best and worst day of your life, I would imagine?
I was in New Jersey. I wasn't working anymore. I had, you know, finished my last Broadway show, If Then, a few years prior. My wife was working, and my daughter was born in October of 2015. And then, so, you know, fairly normal pregnancy, everything was fine. And then, you know, around 3 months old, something, we figured something was wrong. And then around May of 2016 was when Hamilton kind of came into my life. And all of a sudden, the auditions came around, and I thought, oh, this would be cool. It's clearly not going to happen. You know, clearly this is, I know how this story ends. And then it started happening, you know, like I got called back, and so all of a sudden the possibility, was real, like it was a real possibility that this was going to happen. And then so this month of May of 2016 was also the month that my daughter was diagnosed with infantile spasms, which is a just a really gnarly version of epilepsy. And my wife and my daughter are in the hospital. She's getting a lumbar puncture, and she's hooked up to the EEGs, and they're really digging in to find out how serious this is. And I leave them at the hospital to go to my final call back, and Lin-Manuel Miranda's there, and all the producers are there, and all the, and so, you know, it's the story of two different worlds, you know, mm-hmm. the reality of my life and finding out that my child has this, you know, very serious illness and condition, and at the same time, the real possibility that my life is about to change and my career is going to take off and Hamilton is going to come in my life. So, it's, you know, and I like to say that there's a part of me that was at the hospital which allowed the part of me that was in the room to be calm.
Yeah.
And not, because I knew this wasn't, while the most important thing is in a professional career, was not the most important thing in my life.
You could kind of let it go a little bit and just let it all hang out, I imagine.
And I said, you know, there's nothing that I can do here that's going to be as important as what I have to go back over there and do at the hospital. Mm. So for that reason, I think there was something there. You know, the little angel on my shoulder, it was my daughter to help me sort of stay grounded and focused. And, you know, the next week they called and said, hey, you know, you're going to go to Broadway and take over there for a month, and then you're going to go to be the guy in Chicago. So, you know, the rocket blast takes off, and here I am.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like, I was watching you tonight, and that role and what you bring to it has obviously, you know, the core competency of just massive grit, you know? Yeah. And like, I was kind of struck watching you. I was like, has that always been you too, since you were a kid? Yeah. Like,
I, you know, when I got the job, I asked the director and the music director, I said, how much of that version, the music, the soundtrack version, the Lin-Manuel version, do you need? And they said, no, that's not who you are. That's him. And Javier, who took over on Broadway, he does his version, you do your version. And my version is sort of, I'm a little guy, I'm not a tall guy, I'm sort of grounded and the scrappy part I really sort of, I really relate to. So that was the way that I approached it, was this sort of, you know, hard nosed, you know, kinetic force, the energy. And that's sort of how, and this really, like, a gritty version of, you know, they all said that, people said that Lin was, like, this earnest kind of very emotional, and Javier was kind of stoic and sexy, and I'm, like, the gritty, pop, you know, this guy, and it all works, you know, and Michael Loy, he's on Broadway now, he does it a whole different way, and the other Hamiltons, and that's so I was able to bring that version, and so.
And that's when you know you've got a role that's like for the ages, right?
Yeah.
You know, you guys dropped that piece about Macbeth in there, and it's just so, it's so fitting that, you know, a billion guys have played that role in a billion different ways, the same thing's gonna happen here.
It's gonna happen here. This will be done for years and years and years by many, many different types of people, and I just, you know, it's, you know, pinch myself sometimes thinking that I was, you know, I got to be one of the, on the leading edge of this movement, and so it's been pretty special.
I was going to ask you that. Do you still, after, you know, 18 months of this, do you still have those, like, bone-chilling moments all the time? I mean, or is it, like, what's it?
It does, so, you know, it's funny, like, to be, you know, to go back to sort of my situation with my family, you know, I consider myself just a regular person dealing with regular life, you know, and obviously our situation is a little bit heightened, it's a little bit more intricate of things we have to deal with, but just, you know, we're just people trying to get through the day, and then someone will see me and get giddy and and weird and sort of say, oh, I'm so sorry, do you mind if I get in? And I was like, oh yeah, I'm totally, get in here. That's it.
I've been waiting for this,
yeah,
right?
I was like, you know, and I think about the fact that you know, the words that I say, I come here and I say all these words and I get on stage, and the fact that that's what I do has affected so many people. It has moved so many people, and I think, well, who else?
Yeah.
What other kind of job? Whatever I kind of experience, you know, being an actor, you get to do that a lot, just in general.
Yeah.
This one, it just has moved so many people in such a profound way that to have that effect, I mean, that's pretty powerful. It's really powerful, and so it is. It's sort of, it's shocking sometimes to me that I'm like, it's just me. It's just me doing this thing. But but here I am, able to sort of be part of it.
So let me ask you about the foundation and what you guys would love, you know, for it to come to.
Well, you know, as we are learning more about epilepsy and have we learned how difficult it is and what it is and how just the amazingly diverse versions of epilepsy that there are in the world, and the misunderstood nature of what it is, and then the sort of common, how common it is.
It's amazing.
1 in 20. You talk to anybody in a room, and I guarantee you, a few of them have a cousin or a brother or a sister or a friend or you know, and said that has dealt with seizures.
Yeah.
And seizures and seizure-related deaths are as common as even more so than breast cancer, and it just doesn't get the airtime. Yeah. It doesn't get the play. It doesn't get, because it's misunderstood. The treatments are tough and difficult, and the drugs are really terrible.
Yeah.
Some of them are great, and some of those same drugs are terrible for other people. And so, what it seems like as we've been moving forward here, you know, we partnered. When I got here, my wife had already been working, Kelly had already been working with this organization, Cure, in Chicago. But she was working with them in New York as an event planner. She had just done events just randomly. And we, you know, my son is 5 and he's completely normal, so epilepsy wasn't even in our. But when we came here and we realized that this was all gonna be part of our life, she contacted them immediately and said, hey, this is now part of our life. And here's this, you know, platform that we have. And what we learned in doing that is that while research and money is always the most important thing, getting the dollars in the door to sort of get the kickstart, the funding to get the federal dollars and all of these things, the way that we make the most difference is to get people talking about it.
Yeah.
Is to get the word epilepsy up there with Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and ALS and all of these disease, these conditions and these diseases that are, the brain is so misunderstood, and they're in, and the only way to get more understanding and better treatments is to get people to say, you know, epilepsy is something we need to fight. You know, I like to say we love grandma and grandpa, and Parkinson's and Alzheimer's are terrible and we should treat them with seriousness, and let's get epilepsy up there as well.
Right.
And so I feel like that is what I want to do.
Yeah.
Whatever soapbox I have, whatever platform I have to say, hey, let's get this in the conversation. Yeah. That's what I want to do.
And particularly from a childhood perspective, it's already sort of shrouded in which one is this, which strain, whichever, and then you compound that with a child, especially a young child, where the communication is...
Well, then what, you know, people think about epilepsy as that's when you shake and you put a spoon in the seizures and all those things, and that is a version of seizures, and that is absolutely true, but what's not talked about or not understood is that those seizures just get in there and cause havoc in the brain. And as a child, when the seizures get bad and they can't be controlled, then you start talking about developmental problems and delays, and you start talking about serious repercussions as the as a child grows. So the faster you can get in there and stop it, the more of a chance you have for this child to have somewhat of a normal life.
Right.
And you know, that's where we were.
Yeah.
We were finding seizures and had no idea what to do about it.
Yeah.
And the drugs just, this one didn't work and that one didn't work.
And plus the randomness of it too, you know, makes it so incredibly difficult to
Well, you know, and not, no, it's a complex discussion because epilepsy is actually a symptom.
Yeah.
Right? Epilepsy is, it's not right. the disease.
Right.
Epilepsy is the symptom of some sort of neurological thing, whether it's genetic or chromosomal or whatever.
Right.
Injury-based seizures are the byproduct of this problem.
Right.
And so if you can't fix the problem, like you can't get in there and change the genetics,
yeah.
the very least you can do is stop the seizures from
from
breaking the brain.
Right.
And that comes with more money, and that comes with more research, and all of that comes with more, you know, awareness.
And cure is still the one that
cure where is their main focus. Is the biggest, they're the biggest nonprofit, privately funded research based organization. But there's others, and they're all very important. Like the Epilepsy Foundation, they are helping to deal with the people who have epilepsy now,
right.
and who need support now. And what do you need today?
Right.
How can we make and it's important too. Like those are, you know, but my wife and I have said, Kelly has said it, her goal is that at some point we need to not need those organizations anymore. You know, we need them now, but you know, if we could just not or do our very best to eradicate this.
Put them out of business,
man. Put them out of business. You know, and I think, and that's where, and so cure, that's where they focus. They focus. We have to get better drugs. We have to get better treatments. We have to get the government, the federal government, to take this seriously. And so that's where they come in. They say, we are starting the youngest, smartest biologists. We want them here talking about seizures and epilepsy. And that's where we're trying to do.
So we've made a donation to myshotatepilepsy.org in all of your names, our community at 3 Minute Storyteller. And we hope you will too. It's myshotatepilepsy.org. And you'll see there, it's a really fun donation process where you get to share pictures on social media that are connected with Hamilton. Please check it out. There's also an amazing promotion running right now at omaze.com. That's omaze.com. Where if you donate to Cure in Miguel and Kelly's name, you are automatically in the running for a trip to Chicago for two, dinner with Miguel, tickets to Hamilton, and a backstage tour. I can promise you, Miguel will make it a special night. Thanks for listening, and we hope that you come along on the ride with us.